went to bed. And at this time, some of us can't discern our right from our left. But we are here. We are alive. We are alert. We are singing praises and glory unto your name. For this we say thank you. We say praise, O praise our God and King. Hymns of adoration sing, for God's mercy still endure, ever faithful, ever sure. Thank you because you are faithful, God. Thank you because you are worthy to be praised and adored. And this morning, we invite your Holy Spirit to come and speak with us. From the rising up of the sun to the going out of the same, your word remains the same because you will never change. And so come and tabernacle this morning with us and speak a word, because your servants are all listening. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's children say Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles, and in the middle of your Bible you turn to the last Psalm, Psalm 150. Psalm 150. I'll read it from the King James Version. And I want to crave your indulgence if you all stand so together we can reverence the Word of God. Please stand whilst we read the Word of God together. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Do me a favor before you sit down. Turn to the next person. Look the person right in the eye. Just turn to the next person. Look the person. Find somebody. Turn to the look the person right in the eye. And say with me, neighbor. Oh neighbor. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. When we were going to school, either at high school, secondary school, or university, as students, the last thing we all want to hear is when that lecturer or teacher comes to class and say, "Where is my assignment?" Some of us, we know that if we hadn't done it, we will be trembling. And our lecturers normally, teachers normally say, if you know you didn't do the assignment, move to that corner. For us who are West Africans or who are Africans, we know when a teacher tells you, move to that corner, what comes next. But this is a church. I'm not going to ask you to move to that corner. But I will definitely be asking one or two people, preferably one man and one woman. Last week, we spoke about the Psalms. And in conclusion, I said, I'll give you an assignment. Go home, take a Psalm, and maybe, I will call you up to read the Psalm without looking at the Bible. And then maybe we will ask a few questions, because we're going to dive deep into the Psalms. But before I call, I know we have a few members who were not here. So last week, we spoke about the topic, a song of Psalms, and our text was from Psalm 23. Today we'll conclude the series with text which we just read with Psalm 150. We went into why the righteous love the Psalms, because we spoke about and we saw that the Psalms were songs written by people who knew what it was to experience life, who knew what it was to be angry with God, who knew what it was, how life treated them. We also spoke about why, if we are doing evangelism, we need to point people to the Psalms. Brother Jeremy is here today. He wasn't here last week. And I want to make a small clarification, because somebody reminded me yesterday. He said, when you say point to the Psalms, you have to show them which Psalm to start. But let me just go over what I said. You don't need to point where to start in the Psalms, because if you open Psalm 1, when you start reading Psalm 1, you already start feeling the presence of God. So whatever situation you go through Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3, you start feeling that enjoyment of the presence of God, because the Psalms are music that actually they identify, they resonate, and they express the way we feel. Last week, I spoke at length about those three words: identify, locate, resonate, express, and identify. Those three words. That's what the psalm embodies. So, let's have a quick volunteer. One from this side and one from that side. A man or a woman. Just come and tell us quickly about your psalm. One person, quickly. If you don't come, I will point. If you don't come, I will point. I know who I'm going to point from this side. But I don't know yet who I'm going to point from this side. So, I've given you 2 seconds, or else I will point. Brother Aaron. Yes, just the same. Just come forward. So, you know, if I call a man on this side, I'm going to call a woman on that side. Yes. So, what is your favorite psalm?
Psalms. I'll prefer to be on the other side of the room so that I get punished.
No, that side is the punishment side.
For some reason, I had dwelled on that psalms that we preached last week. Psalms 23. Right. Which embodies a whole lot of things that brings us to church. I may not see it all completely, but...
You don't need to read it, don't worry.
Okay. So, that is my psalms. It's a Davidic.
It's a Davidic psalm.
It's a Davidic. It's one of those that David had as a babysitter. Whenever he ran into trouble, he got into it.
Give him a very big hand.
Thank you very much, brother.
Aha! One woman. I know who exactly I'm going to point. Sister, my good friend. Yes. Sister Hilda. What is your favorite psalm?
Psalm 23.
Oh, no.
Yes. Actually,
Wait. You know how lecturers, they say, how come she's there and he's there and they happen to pick the same psalm? They must have spied. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I would say Psalm 23. That's my favorite psalm I used to read. And it brings me hope when I'm in a desperate situation. No, this is it's a strong psalm, I think, more than all other verses. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Please give her a big hand. We spoke at length last week of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And I said, when you start reading the Psalms, by the time you reach to Psalm 23, you would have experienced that there is a God who is your shepherd, with all the attributes on Psalm 23. That makes it a perfect psalm. In fact, it's probably the most popular psalms in the Bible. So, let's go deep now. I don't have time and I have to finish this one today. I want to start by saying that the formal name for the psalm is called the Psalter. Everybody say the Psalter. Media team, move with me as I go on. That's the formal name for the psalm. It's called the Psalter. Now, if you are from an Orthodox background, we have those choirs, you know, have contemporary that do the chants and you sing a lot of psalms. We have a book, just like the hymn book, which is filled with a collection of psalms. And that is called the Psalter. So when you go to the choir stall, you have to have your hymn book and you have to have the Psalter. Because the Psalter is where we sing all the psalms from. Now, remember I asked you also, who wrote the psalms? If you were in Sunday school, we were taught
David. In fact, last week somebody said categorically to me, David wrote the Psalms. Well, you were right and you were wrong. Because as we go along, I'm going to show you about who are the authors of the Psalm. Now, if you open the Psalm book, before the Psalm, verse 1, there's a little piece of information. They write some little piece of information that we most times we just skip over. That little piece of information is called the superscript. Everybody say superscript. The superscript. That superscript gives you one of, or two of, or maybe three pieces of information depending on your Bible. Now, when I say your Bible, I don't mean those ones on your phone. Not those ones on your phones, those apps on your phones. I mean the real thing with the pages, your Bible. If you look at the Bible and your Psalms, they give you what is called the superscript. Now, out of 117 of the 150 Psalms in the Bible, they have superscripts. Okay? Everybody say again, superscripts. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this. The superscript gives one information called the liturgic or music information, a musical information. That information tells you an idea about the psalm. It gives you information about the psalm. Now, one information in the liturgy is called the genre of music. Remember, the psalms are music. So it's called the genre. Now, what is a genre? A genre is a type of music. Now, remember, if you are writing a piece of music, you have to tell the musicians what kind of music this is, because you're only giving them words. Is it jazz? Is it rap? Is it R&B? Or, if I come closer to home, is this Congolese rumba? You have to actually tell the musician what piece of music this is. So that type of music is called the genre of music. For example, I'm going to use Psalm 51 right through. In Psalm 51, if you see, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, that's a psalm of confession. So if I'm writing a song of confession and I give the words to a musician, I have to tell them what's the genre. Because you don't imagine you are confessing and you start, have mercy upon me, O God. No, it doesn't make sense. So it's a slow, solemn music. So that's why it's important to know. Remember, the Psalms were sung aloud in the church. So they needed to put this information together. Another information which you'll find in the superscript is what we called, you will see an instruction. It says, to the chief musician. If you open the Psalm book, you look before Psalm 1, you will see some information and you see some instructions. Now that instruction is for the guy who is playing that piano right now. It's for the chief musician. Why is that important? A few years back, we were putting a Good Friday service together. And we were supposed to sing one song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Okay? Me as an organist, in my country we say, the organ doesn't pronounce words. We only play music. So they gave me a song to play, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and I played the contemporary tune I know. When I survey. After the service, somebody came and said, that's not the tune I wanted. I wanted, when I survey the wondrous work. So, you need to tell the musician what tune you are going to play the psalm for. Now, if they had told me, Mr. Lewis, play Rockingham, then I would have known it. When I survey. If you say play Mason, then I know it. When I survey. These are musical things that only concern with the musicians who are playing the psalms. Are we together so far? Now, another thing you will see in the psalm is something that's called Selah. Selah. S-E-L-A-H. It's written in 77 of the 150 psalms. Selah. Now, when you are singing or when you are reading the psalms, do not pronounce Selah. Selah is a musical designation that doesn't resonate with us, but it describes that we must stop, take a break at that area before we continue. It's like a pause. That's what the word Selah means. Now, I had somebody say to me, there was a sister whose name was Selah, and she doesn't know what the meaning was. So, we have to keep reminding Christians that if you are giving your child a biblical name, please, please, please make sure you know what the name means. Selah is a musical name. It means pause, take a break. I definitely would not want to name my daughter Take a Break. Amen? Now, we also have on the superscript the historical information. Now, the historical information is very, very crucial, because if you are going to read or sing a psalm, you need to know the background of the psalm. So, if you take Psalm 51 and look at the superscript, there is a historical information which tells you there that this song was written when Nathan confronted David about his adulterous affair with Bathsheba. So, a good thing to do is, if you want to read a psalm, you look at the superscript, it gives you the historical information, go back to the Bible, find that area to know the story, so you can have a content to the context of what the psalm is about. Preach, Brother Louis, preach on. So this is what we need to know about that area. And the last piece of information is about the author of the psalm. Who wrote the psalm? Now, on that same superscript, there is the area where the author's name is written. A psalm of David. A psalm of somebody else. Or unknown. So, the Bible itself tells you that David did not write all 150 psalms in the Bible. Amen? So if we turn to the next slide, we can see the collection. Who wrote the psalms? David wrote 73 psalms. Asaph, a brother named Asaph, wrote 12 psalms. Another brother named Korah wrote 11 psalms. Another brother named Judithan wrote 3 psalms. Now, Asaph, Korah, and Judithan, they were all contemporaries of David. They were all contemporaries of David. They all wrote the psalm under the stewardship of David. Then David's son Solomon wrote 2. Moses, Ethan, and Heman are credited with 1. And the rest of the psalms are unknown. Now, we do not know whether it's David or not. They simply put it unknown. Because according to the publication in the Dead Sea Scrolls in Qumran, there is an indication that David wrote over 4,000 psalms. Over 4,000 psalms. But I'm going to come to that very soon. Another important thing you need to know is this. The psalms do not have chapters. The psalms do not have chapters. They have numbers. I will take a pause. Now, what happens is this. David writes a psalm. He puts on a scroll. He writes another psalm. He puts on a scroll. Asaph writes a psalm. He puts on a scroll. Now, all these scrolls are kept in the temple. All the scrolls are kept in the temple. Now, the people who put the Bible together, they took the psalms, all the psalms, and made a collection of these psalms. And said, we are going to number these psalms. Now, if you are old school, we did not know olden days, we never called music as track. I want to listen to track 1. Music was always labeled as number. Number, because they were music. So this music, they numbered them. So these people numbered and put the Lord is my shepherd at number 23. So David did not write Psalm 23. David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. Are we together? David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. So it's biblically incorrect for somebody to stand up here and say, let us open our Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 23. The Psalms do not have chapters, they have numbers. So if from today, if you see somebody come here and say, let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 23, that means that person was not in church today. The Psalms do not have chapters. So after numbering these Psalms, they put them together. They gave them all these numbers. And what they did also, I'm confusing my notes. They put them into a collection of five different categories. Five different categories. Now remember, in the Bible, five is symbolic to the Jews. Five is reminiscent of laws of Moses. The first five books of Moses, called the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the five, Deuteronomy, the five books of Noah. So when we look at these five categories, they are 1 to 41, 42 to 72, 73 to 89, 90 to 106, 107 to 150. Now, a good question is, how do you know that book 1 ends at 41, book 2 ends at 72, book 3 ends at 89, and so on? Because at the end of each book, go back. At the end of each book, there is something they call a doxology. A doxology, or an inscription with a double use of amen. A double use of amen. So if we take Psalm 41, quickly, if you just project the last. The last verse of Psalm 41. The last verse of it says there, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. That tells you book one has ended. There is always a doxological benediction or a double use of amen. Are we together so far? We are learning today. And the next slide. Another category is the grouping, how the Psalms are grouped together. Now we can see David's Psalms were grouped into three categories. Oh no, the devil is a liar. David's Psalms were grouped into three categories. 3 to 41, 51 to 72, 138 to 145. Korah's Psalms, and those Psalms were called Davidic Psalms. Korah's Psalms were 42 to 49. Asaph was 73 to 83. They put them all in the same collection. So that's one grouping by authors. Another grouping is by theme. Theme, the reign of the Lord. We see from Psalm 93 to Psalm 99 is the reign of the Lord. Now this is very important, because every time the Israelites made a mistake by putting their trust on the king who was in the temple, and every time they put their trust in the king always failed. And the psalmist had to remind them that it doesn't matter who sits on the throne here on earth. What you should concern yourself is that there is a God who reigns and he sits in heaven. Amen? There is a God who reigns and he sits in heaven. It doesn't matter whether your boss tries to make big man over you. It doesn't matter whether sickness is what tries to overshadow you. It doesn't matter where your friends try to stab you in the back. It doesn't matter when the president is doing what he feels like doing. It doesn't matter who sits on the throne in Kinshasa. What you should concern yourself is, there is a God in heaven, and that God reigns. That God reigns. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, when the news of Ebola is driving you mad, when the economy of the country is driving you crazy, when your children are going left, right, center, and you don't know how to handle them, open your Bible, Turn to Psalm 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, and remind yourself that my God reigns. Amen? My God reigns. Thank you. Another collection is called The Song of Ascent. Now, in English language, ascent means going up. If you've been to the Holy Land of Israel, been to Jerusalem, you will find out that you can't go to the city without climbing up. You have lots of mountains and stairs that you have to climb. So these songs were called the Song of Ascent. That's from 120 to Psalm 134. And you know some of them. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. You know them. These were called the songs of ascent. These were the songs the Israelites used to sing when they were making the pilgrimage into the Holy Land with one or five of the feasts that they normally had. It's called the song of ascent. Everybody say ascent. Now the last grouping is called the Hallel Psalms. Everybody say Hallel. Hallel Psalms. Now Hallel is from two words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah means, turn the next slide. Hallelujah means praises. And Yah is the condensed version of the word Yahweh, which is the name of God. So we put them together. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Go back to the previous slide. Hallelujah. So the Hallel Psalms will start like this. Praise the Lord. Praise something. Praise Him. And that collection of Hallel Psalms is 111 to 113, 115 to 117, and 146 to 150. A good homework is to go and check these numbers out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now what the psalmist is trying to say is, in everything, we are reminded that we must praise the Lord. Have you ever wondered why Psalm 150 is put last in the Bible? It put last in the Psalms? Because if you don't remember Psalm 23, if Psalm 46 slipped off your head, if Psalm 91, you can't remember the verses, always remember one thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In everything, we have to praise the Lord. In everything, we have to praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 150, it tells you, praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His good power. Now, the sanctuary doesn't mean inside the church. It doesn't mean Sebeka Church. The sanctuary means is this. Anywhere, the sanctuary is a unique setting, a set aside setting. So you praise God in the uniqueness of His power. You praise God anywhere. In the firmament of His good works, it means anywhere that God's hand shows up in your life, you ought to give God the praise. Do not wait for Sunday to come and praise God when your miracle happened on Monday. I told the choir yesterday, do not wait for exclusive praise and worship to praise God when your miracle happened on Saturday. Praise Him in your hospital. If you receive the healing, praise Him there. If you receive your victory in your workplace, give God the praise. Anywhere you are where God's hand shows up in your life, you have got to give God all the praise. A few weeks ago, I was in the hospital. I was in the office. We were having a meeting, and I sat on my desk and I'm looking at my email, and I was paying attention to the meeting, and then the alert email came, and I just blinked, and I saw an email for something I have been waiting for the last 7 years. And believe you me, right in the meeting, I did this. And everybody stopped and looked at me. Say, William, what's the problem? I said, praise the Lord. Right in the meeting. Praise Him where you are. I don't want to wait for today to come and give God the praise. placed him in the firmament of his power. So if you understand that, this is what the scripture is telling you in Psalm 150. Now, if you move to that psalm, you will find out it gives us a list of instruments. Praise him with the trumpet. Praise him with the cymbals. Praise him. Now, the drums, they are useless if nobody is beating on them. Nobody is there right now, so the drum is useless. That guitar is useless if nobody is playing. That piano is useless if nobody is playing it. Because all of these instruments were created for a particular purpose, to be played. So play that drums. Where is the drummer? Play that guitar. Play that piano. Clash those cymbals. So if you understand the crux of that matter, now here is it. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Why is that? Because you and I were created to praise God. You and I, we are woken up this morning so we can declare God's goodness. You and I were created to give thanks to God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise him with the keyboard. Praise him with the drums. Praise him with the high sounding cymbals. Praise him with your timbrels. Praise him with the harp. At the end of the day, after all is said and done, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. 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 In your sick bed, praise the Lord. If you don't have money, praise the Lord. If you are broke, praise the Lord. In everything you do, praise the Lord. When your friends stab you in the back, praise the Lord. When your bosses want to be a hindrance to you, praise the Lord. Because at the end of the day, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now you remember, God called Moses. He said, go down to Egypt. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Why? Because in bondage, they cannot praise me. We were created to praise God. So if you sit down there and say, that praise thing is not for me. That shout, that hallelujah. Every time you want to raise your hand, there is probably a brother or a sister who say, put your hands down, I can't see. While you, we call them, brother shout a lot and sister clap a lot. We have some people, every time somebody, they will be raising their hands to praise God. Praise him in that uniqueness. Because you shouldn't be worried if somebody tells you to keep quiet. Because you know that that praise wasn't meant for them. That praise was for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. So let everything, everywhere we go, we have to declare the goodness of God and say, God, here is my petition. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm going to worship you, but I'm going to praise you, but I'm going to glorify your name, because I know you are a God who sits and you hear and you answer prayer. So please be on your feet. Where is the drummer? Please be on your feet. I'm not going to tell you to play anything. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Take that guitar. Just play something because I want to praise God. Mr. Drummer, just beat that drums because I want to play. I want to praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I'm going to give you a count, head count. You ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Just play. Come on, beat that drums. Beat that drums. Come on. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, come on. Every praise, come on. Every praise is to our God. Everything we are going to do is for our God. Every praise, let every praise. Come on, play that song. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, to our God, glory hallelujah, let every praise, come and sing.
God right now. Just say something to God right now. Just say something to God right now. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. I'll praise Him in the morning. I'll praise Him in the noontime. I'll praise Him at night. I'll praise Him wherever I am. I'll give Him praise. I'm giving glory. I'm giving all the honor. Because no one deserves to praise more than like Him. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be honored. He's worthy to be adored. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you are here this morning and you want to rededicate your life unto God, maybe you backtracked a little bit, maybe you've gone one way or the other astray, and you have this opportunity to come back to that area, to the throne of grace. Maybe there are some praises, there are some things that the Lord did for you, and you've never had the opportunity to praise God. You've never had the opportunity to thank God publicly. You've never had the opportunity, or you've been shying away from that responsibility. You have an opportunity right now to recommit your life to God, to rededicate your lives to God. You have that opportunity. Let's all say together, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, I exalt your name this hour. I magnify your name. I say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, because you are a God who forgives me. You are a God who heals me. You are a God who delivers me. You are a God who restores me. You are a God who puts a crown on my head. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you. Every hour, we need you. Wherever we are, wherever we go, we need your presence in. Be with us. Be a God before us, behind us, and beneath us. And let your name be praised from Sebeka unto the land beyond of Goma. Let your name be praised. Lord, we've had your word. Let these words bear fruit in our hearts, that we know we came empty, but we are not leaving this place empty, because we believe that your Holy Spirit has given us food to eat. Thank you, Father. And let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen.